Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 29th day of October, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is the Great Apostasy, or Falling Away. And yeah, we've used that title before, but you'll see why I want to use it again today. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Notice I did not say Yiddish. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prinhanda Cymru Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and again, that's pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Please go there from time to time and check the Listen Live page for scheduled broadcasts, especially going forward in the future, because we're going to shift gears here at By Yahweh's Design. I believe the Father is guiding us in that direction, so we're going to be making some changes, so you might want to visit the website from time to time to see about those changes. The Wednesday night conference will be suspended for the time being, and instead of that, what we're going to do is put out an open invitation to the brethren for individual consultations, or if you have a small group or family, etc., and you want a group consultation. So instead of a scheduled Wednesday night broadcast, I'm again putting out an invitation that if you notify me, we'll set up a conference call, either for an individual or a group. We can record it if you wish, or if you wish it to be unrecorded, we will not record it. And that way we can better attend to the needs of our family as we're going into these dark days. It's pretty obvious that the cabal that runs this world, the Zionist cabal, wants that they're putting absolutely ridiculous things out there and getting people to believe that that's what we should do. So we are near the end of the age, obviously, and so this change in venue here at By Yahweh's Design is according to that change in venue. I believe the Holy Spirit is leading us in that direction. So feedback from you folks would be greatly appreciated if you think that's a good idea or not. For the time being, I'll probably continue to do the Sunday morning broadcast such as today, as long as the internet will allow me to anyway. And then, again, we will schedule individual consultations according to the needs of our family, our brethren, okay? So it won't be a scheduled thing. It'll be impromptu, and if necessary, notice will be put out if somebody wants to hold a group session, let's say, on a Tuesday afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning over in England or Europe or somewhere like that. The family is everywhere, so we have to stay flexible to meet the needs of the family. At PastorDan.net, again, we have a daily mail page. That's where I put the latest links to news information, health information, home defense information, etc. So check it out from time to time. The home page has instructions on how you can help us out financially if you feel led to do so. There's also a contact us page, and that is if you do not have my personal contact information, which is either by phone or by email. So use the contact us page to get in touch with me. I'll be glad to get back with you ASAP. Remember the old adage, do not be afraid to fail, but do be afraid not to try. And that's scriptural based. I hope you understand that. So fear is a form of cowardice. Fear is also a form of lack of faith. And so hopefully nobody that comes here or is part of our close family suffers from that. We certainly hope not. We're often told to be humble. Remember, humble is a, according to some dictionaries anyway, the word humble means marked by meekness or modesty, not arrogant or prideful. Okay? A lot of our people have forgotten what the word humble means, or humility. We need to obviously get back to that ASAP. Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model, which is what we're here for. That makes the existing model, which is Babylon, obsolete. We're trying to set up camp for our family and build a new model. The righteous will flock to this new model, by the way. And, of course, the unrighteous will not. Revelation 18:4, and another voice from the heavens came to my ears, saying, come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins. And what is sin? Lawlessness. In other words, the abandonment or apostasy from the laws of God. So that you have no part in her sins and in her punishments. The punishments are coming. Now, some folks are already feeling punishments for those who worship the beast and put the poison in their bodies. It's obvious that they are being punished already. Other people who put their faith into banking, the banking industry, which is completely Jewish-controlled, some of them are being punished now, too. Things aren't going too well for all those who worship the beast. So keep those things in mind. Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings, that's you and me, is to search out a matter. In other words, some people say, well, why doesn't God just come down here and tell me what to do? Well, many times he has. But maybe he concealed it just enough to see if you want the truth bad enough. You see, a lot of people really don't. A lot of people are lazy, extremely lazy. They want to be spoon-fed. They want somebody else to solve their problems. They want to blame everybody else. The narcissism of our society, of our people today, is almost sickening. We have a pandemic, not the one that they're telling you about, because they lie, but there is a pandemic of narcissism amongst the Israelites and other people as well, but we were put here to lead by example. Yahweh says, I'm going to clean my house first. That's in Scripture. I'm going to clean my house. What does that mean? My people. House is representative of a family. You and I are a family, familia, family. And he said, I'm going to clean my house first. And you can see that happening right now amongst the white race, the Caucasians out here. You can see that happening. He's dividing households. He's dividing families. He's dividing friends. He's dividing coworkers, neighbors, etc. He is separating the goats from the sheep because the great harvest is just around the corner. Remember, when the government fears the people, we have liberty. But when the people fear the government, that's a sign you're under tyranny. So if you can't tell we're under a tyranny right now, you're just dumber than a box of rocks. Sorry. Henry David Thoreau, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. So it's 1,000 to 1, meaning only 0.1% see the evil for what it is. The evil, which is, of course, Jewish. Has Jewish names, Jewish money, Jewish faces, Jewish sophistry. Jewish lies. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe, okay, when the Bible says woe, that's a warning, all right? So basically what's it saying? Those who turn everything upside down. And what has happened today? Take a look around us. Okay? Everything's upside down. Everything's upside down. The way we perform marriages, the way we live a married life, upside down. The way we raise our children, upside down. The way we're supposed to have our government established, upside down. Who should be in charge? Upside down. You don't see white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, and I'm talking about the genuine people, and I'm going to get some verses that talk about who are the genuine people and what are the attributes of genuine people. Well, we live in a kakistocracy, which is the exact opposite of that. A kakistocracy is government by the worst elements in your society. Okay? That's what we have. Jeremiah 4:22, for my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are foolish children. Or you could say they behave like foolish children. They have no understanding. They're skillful in doing evil, but they do not know how to do good. Do you know people that fit that description? I know I do. Some of them are in my own family. Some of them are amongst my friends and neighbors. Sir Walter Scott said, without courage, there cannot be truth. Now let that sink in. Without courage, there cannot be truth. They go hand in hand, folks, because it takes courage to speak truth. Or haven't you noticed that? And without truth, there can be no other virtue. So we live in a dark world. This is the darkness spoken of in Scripture. Darkness represents what? Ignorance. Ignorance of what? Common sense. Ignorance of Yahweh's word, Yahweh's law, Yahweh's truths, and a worship of lawlessness. So we're going to go into a short study here with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which is covering this idea of lawlessness. Now, a lot of people think lawlessness is the breaking of man's law. That's not what it's talking about, folks. The only law that matters in this world, during this life, in our time here on this plane, is Yahweh's law. That's the only law that matters. Even William Blackstone and many other great jurists all through history made that exact same statement. Man's law is secondary, and you can go all the way back to Yeshua's time with Peter when he said, if it's a choice between man's law and God's law, you, brothers and sisters, must choose Yahweh's law. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brothers, again, Adelphos, those from the same womb, Caucasians, concerning the coming of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, Jesus Christos, and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be quickly shaken in your mind. A lot of people today are not very solid in their thinking, are they? And not be troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us. So the modern day church world, of course, is teaching you all kind of blasphemy and claiming it is coming from the time of the apostles. Not so. Saying that the day of the Messiah has already come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for it will not be unless the rebellion, apostasy, comes first. So there's been apostasy throughout time. But it's talking about the great apostasy, which apostasy means a falling away from doctrine or dogma, a falling away from, in this case, Yahweh's law. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of destruction, and he who opposes and exalts himself against all that is called Yahweh God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, setting himself up as God. Now, Ella and others have made the observation that this could also be talking about what's inside you, because are you not the temple of God? At least that's what Scripture says. Are you not, your bodies, are they not temples? So what's setting up themselves as God in the temple? If your thoughts are on evil, then the wicked one is now sitting as God in your temple. Is it not true? Think about that for a second. Who guides what you say and do on a daily basis? In your temple. Have you set up an idol? Do you worship money? Do you worship power, sex, drugs, entertainment, pleasures? Or do you seek Yahweh God? What is in your temple? What guides you from day to day? Verse 5, do not you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Now you know what is restraining him to the end that he may be revealed in his own season or time. For the mystery of lawlessness already works. Now, during the time of the writing of 2 Thessalonians, lawlessness already was at work. Yeah, as long as man has been on this plane, lawlessness has worked. Only there is one who restrains now until he is taken out of the way. We call that the great restrainer. We're not told exactly what that is, except that it restrains the lawless one. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom Yahweh God will kill with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the manifestation of his coming. Now, what will be the manifestation of his coming? It could be either one. He personally manifests, or you and I manifest him by what? Doing his will upon the earth. Is that not a form of manifestation? When the sons and daughters of Yahweh decide to put off the earthly things and do what is right? Just asking. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, or the adversary, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deception of wickedness for those who are being lost, because they did not receive the love of the truth. Okay? Why are people being wicked and why are they lost? It says it right there. Because they did not receive the love of the truth. They do not possess the love of truth. Why are people out here dying and falling and getting hurt by these jabs? Because they no longer love the truth. People try to tell them. Did you read the box that the serum came in? Do you see anything about testing of it? Does it describe what the ingredients are? And yet you followed, you worshiped, you revered the beast and put it in your body anyway. You wanted your job so bad, you put it in your body anyway. You wanted to travel and go to Disney World, and you put it in your body anyway. Okay? So they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So we get back to that Greek word that is translated save here. And it's not talking about what the church teaches, that give your life to Jesus and just say the sinner's prayer and you will be saved. Saved from what? That's not what it's talking about. Most scripture is using the same Greek word. See, the church world has turned everything upside down. That you might be saved from dying from the jab. That you might be saved from hypocrisy and error. You might be saved from having your life savings and business stolen from you by this Jewish Babylonian money system. You might be saved from harm by going natural with your health and your food and staying as close to the way Yahweh made it as possible. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what it's talking about, that you might be saved. How can you be saved? The truth shall set you free. Isn't that what it says? Truth. The truth is, you're not supposed to put everything down at the grocery store in your body. You don't put the unclean in your body. You don't put chemicals, dyes, high fructose corn syrup, genetically modified food in your body. You are what you eat. How many times do you have to hear that? Literally, you are what you eat. Scripture is very clear to guard what goes into your mouth and what comes out of your mouth. What goes into your ears and your eyes, guard whatever goes there. Why? Because it influences the way you think. It influences you spiritually. Because of this, Yahweh God sends them a strong delusion, or in this version, a working of error, that they should believe a lie. You know, we shake our heads as, how can people not see what's going on? How can they not see the lies and deceptions of these politicians, the media, the military, etc., and the pastors and priests and preachers, liars and deceivers? How can you not see it? It says so right there. He sends a strong delusion so that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You can see the zombies that fit that description everywhere today. It is also one of the reasons why we have a pandemic of narcissism. And really, some people don't know the dictionary definition of narcissism or even the clinical definition. But in essence, narcissism is self-centeredness. Okay? Egotism, self-centeredness. The world revolves around you. Instead of what Yahshua taught, what Yahshua taught, that we should be servants to one another. But we are bound to always give thanks to Yahweh God for you, brothers, loved by our Lord, because Yahweh God chose you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you through our teaching of the good news. For the obtaining of the glory of our Master, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold the traditions which you were taught by us. Does it mean the traditions of the elders of Zion? No. The elders within the mainstream churches? No. Traditions of the atheists and godless Jew? No. How about the traditions that you were taught by the followers of Yahshua? Now our Lord, Yahshua himself, and Yahweh our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. Hallelujah. Messages are pretty simple and clear, are they not? And like we said, you know, we've been broadcasting for 24 years, almost to the day now. 24 years, which I find interesting, that's two sets of 12. That's obviously a number from Scripture, right? The 24 elders, the 12 disciples, etc., etc. Interesting. It's almost a quarter century. So for 24 years, this has been primarily a teaching ministry. Thousands of interviews, thousands of hours of Bertrand Comparé, E. Raymond Capp, the biblical archaeologist, many other pastors and teachers, and people from the secular world that have truth to share with us here on By Yahweh's Design. 24 years. And we always knew that there was a day coming when Yahweh would say, enough is enough. And it's my contention that we've reached that point. The teachings have gone out from many different platforms, not just this one. And you're either awake or you're not. We're getting close to the end of the age. And so, again, that's why we want to shift gears. During the week, other than this Sunday morning time we spend together, during the week, this ministry will be open to the family of Yahweh on this earth. Any day, 24 hours a day, that's what we're here for, to administer to the family. And the family's needs don't follow a schedule. Any of you that have raised children and been married, you know what I'm talking about. The needs of the family can come at any time of the day or night on any given day of the week. And that's what we're here for, to minister to our family. And so, again, I'm saying, if there's a need for a conference, and it doesn't have to be a public conference, it could be just you and I, whoever you are. If you have a question about Scripture, if you have a question about health, if you have a question about relationships, if you have a question about work, self-defense, food, naturopathy, it does not matter. Whatever the needs of the family are, those of us here in this family, this gathering, that's what we're here for, to administer to our brothers and sisters. Especially in these very obvious latter days, near the end of the age, there are many of our brethren who will not wake up until recently. And because of that, they're not going to have decades to study and show themselves approved for this work like you and I, folks. And some of you folks are relatively new, but you still have had at least years to do some research and study. Some of these newcomers are not going to have that privilege. And so we have to reach out to them, and they have to somewhat trust us. And as we teach them, as we counsel them, as we assist them in their needs, the Spirit of our Father will testify to them whether or not you and I are truthful. Time will prove whether or not we are truthful. But in the beginning, it is the spirit, the vibration, the gut feeling. Is somebody telling you the truth or not? Okay? Let that sink in. Pray over it. Think about it, meditate on it, and then get back to me. Let me know. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have some qualifications for overseers, basically the elders, okay? The overseers, or in fact, it comes from a Greek word, episkopos, and that means to watch over. Epi is over, skopos is where we get the word scope, as in telescope, microscope. Okay? Episcopalian comes from that same Greek root, okay? Episkopos, to watch over, to look over, or keep. So overseers, that's you, episkopoi, that would be us, the overseers. What does Timothy, or I should say Paul in Timothy, have to say about that? The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. Let me stop here for a minute. If these are the qualifications of an overseer within the body of Yeshua, would it not make sense that only people who meet these same qualifications be given authority in your society? Your public servants, you and I are public servants. Police officers are public servants. Military people are public servants. And government officials are public servants. Would it not make sense that if an overseer described here is to have qualifications, that these other folks should have qualifications? The answer to that obviously is yes, they should. So if you wish to be respected in our society, if you wish to have authority, if you wish to govern in any way or police in any way, these are your qualifications as well as the overseer to the body of Yeshua. You must be above reproach. The husband of at least one wife. Oh, I know people say a husband of just one wife. No, that's not what it says. The husband of at least one wife. Because remember, back in the day when people actually believed in Yahweh Yeshua, they understood that a man could have more than one wife. Again, if he's qualified, not just anybody is qualified to be the husband of more than, or actually even the husband of one wife, let alone more than one wife. So, must be above reproach, must have at least one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Now, a lot of people gloss over this one. How many people do you know are qualified to teach? Okay? If you're going to teach somebody something, what is implied here? What's implied if an overseer, an elder, is supposed to be able to teach? It means that you have knowledge and skill yourself. You don't teach by telling somebody else to go fix and tune up a car when you don't know how to do it yourself. You don't tell them how to put up a new house without you knowing how to do it yourself. So when it says, very simply, able to teach, it's implying that you yourself have knowledge and skill. If you have not trained yourself in any skill levels, then you don't have a right to be an elder. Doesn't that make sense? Absolutely. Again, these are the qualifications if you wish to lead or be an elder within the body of Yeshua. Not a drunkard. Now, some of these daughters of the great whore, which are the Protestant churches, which are daughters of Roman Catholicism, they teach that you can't have alcohol altogether. That's not what Scripture teaches. I myself have an occasional beer. Sometimes I'll even have a vodka tonic. Okay, not every day, but once in a while. It says not a drunkard. Why? Because we're not to allow anything of this earth to possess us or to diminish our ability to lead. Again, leaders must be sober. therefore you cannot be a drunkard. Not violent, but gentle. Unless, of course, it's called for, because there are times that we are called to be violent. In the protection of our people, especially the widows and orphans, the weakest amongst us, we are called to be violent in those cases. But under normal circumstances, we are to be gentle. Not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Now, I just read those qualifications for the overseer, which by implication are also qualifications for public servants. How many people do you know fit those qualifications? Now, be honest. Let's run through them real quick again. And as I'm reading these out, you think in your mind, how many people do you know are qualified as leaders or overseers at any level, whether it's in the area of our faith or government? Okay? So if anyone aspires to the office of overseer or elder or public servant, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, meaning you're not able to condemn them for something. The husband of at least one wife, not single, not too young to be a family man, like we've got today. Sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome. In other words, not easily butthurt, not a lover of money. Now, how many people do you know that fit just those qualifications? Not very many is the answer. Not very many. Trust me, I've been looking for people like that my entire time upon this earth, especially when I was shown my identity. So that's 40 years, approximately 40 years, four decades. I've been looking for the men who meet those qualifications. Guess what? Not too many. Not too many. Bear that in mind as we think and talk about what's going on in the world today. The overseer must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Uh-oh, that leaves out a whole lot of you folks. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for Yahweh's assembly of saints? Answer that question. He must not be a recent convert, a novice, if you will, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the adversary. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders. Yes, people even outside of our faith respect someone who meets these qualifications. How do I know that? Because I've lived it. I've lived it. People of other races, other faiths and all, respect the overseer. Respect an elder truly qualified. Even other writings of Paul and of the other apostles talk about these things. So he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the adversary. How do you stay out of the snare of the adversary? Because the adversary gets us through what? Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, sex, entertainment, love of pleasures, love of money. The greatest evil of all is the love of money. Why? Because the Jew gets us to do all manner of abominations by dangling electronic digits in front of our faces. How many people fit that description that you know of? Most people. In this day and age, most people. Wave a few dollars, even the digital ones, in front of these people, and they will literally sell out their soul, sell out their family, sell out their country. The world is full of these kind of people. Truly, the scripture is correct. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's why the Jews, many, many centuries ago, decided to get into finance. Because if you control the money, you control the herd. Because our people are no longer noble. They are no longer Aryans. The word Aryan means noble. They are no longer true Aryans. It's also the root where the word aristocracy comes from, meaning we are to be governed by our Aryan elders. It's so simple. Why can't people see it? I don't get it. Aristocracy. Why do you think the Jews railed against the aristocracies of our people through the years, particularly the monarchies? But if you look at the history of the French Revolution, which was not that long ago, okay, I've read several books on it. I've looked at several excellent videos, especially by Asa Lagos. Excellent videos, okay? It is obvious that the ugly, demented, wicked creatures that were behind the terror called the French Revolution, they were all Jews, particularly lawyers, and particularly in Paris. Now, how many people died terribly because of the machinations of these sick, demented Jews in Paris, in France at that time? Now, the only good news is that most perpetrators, bad actors, themselves, but before they were, souls that were sacrificed so they could stay in power. Same thing happening. Who are the ugly creatures behind this push for World War III? Work in Paris in the late 1800s. The same cabal, the same synagogue attenders, because they're always lusting for blood, lusting for power, lusting to control people, hating the aristocracy of our race. It's so plain to see. You literally have to be dumber than a box of rocks today not to see it. Sorry, but it's true. It's in your face. Yahweh has made it in your face. Now, before I close, Greg Mannarino, who I've been listening to because he's another Floridian. In fact, he's not too far from here. He does a lot of market reporting, and I think he's sincere in a lot of his market reporting. So I pay attention to what Greg puts out. And just today, he put out a thing. I'll just read it to you. Over the weekend, so-called President Trump made several strong comments regarding this new Israeli war. It's not really a war, because to have a war, you have to have an that's not the case. This is genocide. And this is what he said about this guy called Donald Trump. When I am back in the White House, the United States will stand with Jewish Israel all the way, without hesitation, without qualification, and without apology. We will fully support the Israelis in their mission to ensure that Hamas is decimated, and these atrocities will be avenged. They will be avenged. And then he went on to say, as a warning to the Palestinian folks and Arabs in general, if you spill a drop of American blood, we will spill a gallon of yours. Isn't that spoken of just like a Jew? Just like Madeleine Albright and all the rest of them ugly kikes? Right? 500,000 Arabs aren't worth the fingernail of a Jew. Something similar to that. Okay, that's their hypocrisy. That is their hubris, or in their own Yiddish bastard language, chutzpah, that they consider everybody animals, and that a pile of 500,000 dead Aryans or dead Arabs or dead Orientals, it doesn't matter to them, a pile of 500,000, a pile of 500,000 of our people isn't worth the fingernail on a single Jew. Is that arrogance or what? Exactly as Scripture describes the son of perdition, the children of perdition. Now, are you starting to see the picture of where we're at on the timeline? Maybe just a little? Okay? We're getting very close to the end of this earth age. We're getting very close to the burning of the tares. But even before the tares are consumed, Yahweh said he's going to do something first. And that is, I will clean my house. I will get rid of those detractors within my family. So all you people out there wishing for the demise of these wicked satanic Jews, have you thought about that? The Jews and what they do exposes who the terrors are. Landish their lies and murder. Do they not show you who the terrors are? Does not Donald Trump obviously make such outlandish bullshit such as this idiot as a goat, a terror, an enemy of all mankind, and certainly an enemy of Yahshua HaMashiach? So you're asking for Yahweh to pull these people off this earth and stop the torment when they are performing his will upon this earth. Do you not see it? This is exactly what he foretold. Now, is it pleasant to watch? No, it's not. Of course it's not. You have a heart that belongs to Yahweh. You have a heart that fits the description of the overseer. You care. You have empathy. You are concerned. You want to set things right, which is exactly what we are supposed to do. But you have not been given the tools to fix this world. Not yet. You can fix the world right around you. You can fix the guy you look at in the mirror every morning. You can fix your wife or wives. You can fix your children, your household. And you might even be able to fix a few things in your neighborhood. Those you should do. We are the salt after all. That's what salt does. It preserves. It preserves truth, honesty, integrity. We have been given that power, that even though this demented world is coming apart at the seams, it doesn't mean that you or your household has to. You stay strong in the faith. Isn't that what it says? Overcomers, be ye overcomers. Don't fall into the temptation that's taking down the rest of the world. Don't put that shit in your body. Don't accept bribes. Don't allow them to intimidate you, because they will try. Just understand that as he purges the weak and cowardly from our own ranks, he's preparing the body of Yahshua for the war that's about ready to take place. The real war, not this fake one, not this perpetrated by the enemy one, so that they can get us into war and kill innocent blood and shed innocent blood, and to make billions upon trillions of ill-gotten gain. That's what they do it for. So the real war is what Obadiah at verse 18 is talking about, and Ezekiel in chapter 25 is talking about. That's the one that's coming, when the manifestation of the sons, the true sons, the rightful sons, the overseer sons, rise up and destroy these wicked people, all of them. But he has to have a clean house to do it. And you know why he has to have that? Go read the stories of the Israelites when they were on the march in the Old Testament. They were always victorious when they remained righteous. When the entire army is righteous, they were not able to be defeated. Because what defeats armies? Treason. Stupidity, cowardice, lack of proper leadership, right? Those things can destroy an entire army. Yahweh's army, when it's made up of the righteous, those who are, quote, qualified, cannot be defeated. So once our Father is done thinning out the herd, then he's going to give us the green light. And that's when the manifestation takes place, and you will see Obadiah 18 come to pass. So what I'm trying to tell you is, take heart that you are in the middle of what all of our ancestors were looking forward to. No, it's not pretty at the moment. In fact, it's quite sad to find out who some of the weak links in our families and friends and co-workers are. It's not pleasant. However, it is necessary. And if you put yourself in Yahweh's shoes, as the commander-in-chief and the creator and our Father, and we his children, if you do that, every step of this process makes perfect sense. Why would I turn the unfaithful, the unfit, the undeserving, why would I turn them loose on the world expecting them to destroy the wicked when they are wicked themselves? Why would I bless them with all the blessings I have stored up when they are wicked people? Why would I do that? No, I want to purge out all of those described in Scripture, starting with the cowardly, the wicked, those that take bribes, drunkards, drug addicts, traitors, pedophiles, homosexuals, all of the perverts. They will be weeded out from amongst my people first. Then my people are worthy to be the army that destroys the rest of these wicked serpent creatures. Can you see it? Makes perfect sense. Again, I ask for your feedback on my what I talked about earlier, changing the venue here at By Yahweh's Design. because the family, the true family, is coming together. It's growing by the day. It's becoming much larger. And so we who have been given the insights and the training and the knowledge over these past years, we have to be worthy overseers for our brethren as they awaken. And that's what we want this ministry for going forward. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We are here for the family. And that's why I say conference calls in the future will be set up on a case-by-case basis. There is no time limit, no day limit, no length of the call limit, no limits whatsoever. Whatever the family needs, whether it's one person or 20 people, doesn't matter. Or 1,000 people, really, it doesn't matter. And we have various platforms we can do it on. We can do it on Telegram. We can do it on free conference call. We can do it on Zoom. There's probably even others, but those are available to us right now. So let's get the family together. Let's clean up our act. Let's all meet the qualifications of an overseer, of an elder, so that we can be called upon by our Father in these critical days. Because that's where we're at, folks. This is where the rubber meets the road, in case you didn't know it. This is the final test. And you don't want to fail this one. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brethren. We thank you that the internet didn't crap out on us yet again. We thank you for all of your sons and daughters who awaken to that calling. You call us, we don't call you. For those who accept that knock at the door and let you in, be with us and guide us in all that we say and do, Father, for your kingdom and for your glory. Give us strength, honor, dignity, clear vision. Take away any fear and doubt. And as always, Father, we ask that you would protect us from our enemies. These things we ask in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.